Praise the Lord. Third. Yeah, that's just, praise the Lord. God is good. He really is good. I've been very, very blessed with my heritage that I have received. Not many people can say that they're the third generation missionary. I didn't do that for that reason. I became a missionary because the Lord called me, and I felt the need that Polish people needed to hear the gospel. And I wanted to see souls getting saved, and I wasn't satisfied with a few missionaries over there. I said, I want to go. Send me. I hear my Lord. So that's what I did. And I went, and praise the Lord, I've been there now as a missionary on my own, as a missionary 11 years. My wife and I have been, I got married about a year later, so my wife and I have been together 10 years on the mission field. Praise the Lord for that. God is good. God is very good. You look around, you look here, like we said, 40 years of mission conferences, and what God has accomplished in those 40 years, just look in Mexico at all the churches that are going up over there. Mexican missionaries sending out. Their own churches sending out other missionaries. It's incredible. Praise the Lord for that. Man, that cannot be but only God's hand in what we are doing here. And this is the King's business. I like that song. This is the King's business, and that's what we are here for. Those of you who have been praying for us and supporting us monthly and yearly, day in and day out, I want to thank you so much for everything. God has been very good to us. My wife and my daughter couldn't make it tonight because we had a family reunion yesterday. Went kind of sour. I don't know what happened, but something happened. Yeah. We drank too much water. I don't know what it was. Whatever it was, it didn't settle right with some people. So please pray for the rest of the clan. Anyways, Mark chapter 5 will be my text for this morning. I'm going to start off with a bang. Basically, my idea, my intention today is to give you a shotgun effect. I want to hit just about everybody in this room. I'm not looking at just one particular person, one particular people. I want to hit. If you're saved, I want to hit you. If you're unsaved, I want to hit you. If you are backslidden, I want to hit you. If you are thinking or hesitating about becoming a missionary, I want to hit you. If you are hesitating on becoming a preacher, an evangelist, I want to hit you too. I'm going to hit just about every single person in this room, and if you're not hit after this message, either I didn't do my job well or you fell asleep. According to my son, that's when he gets his best naps when I preach. So I don't know. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read for verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea and in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now this is a very interesting person right here that we're being introduced here to. A man, I would like to call him the wild man. He was wild. He was untamed. No one could tame him. He was suffering. This man has some serious problems. And we see here, we see that this man and all his issues, no man could tame him. They put fetters, they put chains on him. He would break those. Now, here, Lord Jesus is going to do a marvelous work in this man. I'm sorry, I'm too loud. I'm too loud. I knew that was going to be a bad idea. I try telling people, all right, you're going to be careful. I'm going to blow your ears off. this man here having these problems, people had tried to tame him, to do something for this man to not be what they thought was controlled. They wanted to control him with manly and earthly bounds, which he could not be bound, could not be set free, but only by Jesus Christ. They tried to bind him. They tried to control him. They tried to heal him in their own mentality, which very often is what man does. Puts chains and boundaries and puts things on you just for you to be bound more instead of set free, which is the issue here that we are facing in our generation, in our society. Religion likes to just cause more problems, put more chains and more things on our backs for us to have to carry on. They say do this and do that. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what we have to be set free. This man has a big problem. Demon possession is a great, great problem. This man, we say he has full of demons. We read on that even has the demons. It's not just one. It's not just two. It's many. The name of the devil is Legion, because we are many. This man had a big problem, a serious issue. Satan has a stronghold on this man, a very hard stronghold. Others tried to bind him, but we see in verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Wow. He just saw Lord Jesus from afar off. He ran to him and he worshipped him. He knew where his Savior was. Now, even if it was the devils who ran and worshipped him, even that is incredible that the devils even themselves know who Jesus is. The devils could give glory to God and they say, we know who you are. What are you doing here? They knew what he was going to be doing to them. God, Jesus, is God in the flesh, truly. And why do the devils ask for permission in this chapter? They ask for permission to be sent out to the swines. Why? Because they know that God is in control. How often do we forget that God is in control of our lives? Even the devils know that God is in control. The devils themselves say, just let us go out and let's go into the swines, because you are the ones that order us. We cannot do anything of our own. They ask. You know, today men and women are so much under the influence of the devil. Even they don't realize it. Now, I'm not talking about in particular demon possession, although I know that does happen. I have met one person in that for sure that I knew was demon possessed. But that's not the issue right here, right now, that I want to be mentioning. The biggest issue in our society is spiritual bounding. Being bound in a spiritual sense. If you turn to John chapter 8, Lord Jesus here himself explains something here. Keep our places in Mark chapter 5, please. We'll be going back in a moment. John chapter 8, verse 44. Says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Jesus is accusing who? The Pharisees. The most religious people on the earth. He is calling them devils. The father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. Lies. Full of lies. Good works will get you to heaven. Lies. Full of lies is all over the place. Don't worry, you know, it's the same. If you love a woman or love a man, and you're a man and love a man, that's just fine. That's love. That's lies. Full of lies. And why? Where's that come from? That comes from the devil. And people do not realize that these things are of the devil. And people are possessed. And they follow the lusts of their father. They don't even realize it. And they need to be set free. And that's why we preach the gospel, to set people free. For them to know that when they see Jesus afar off, they run to him and worship him. As the man did with Jesus. He ran to him and worshiped him. We see that Jesus is the only one who could help this man. The only one who could do any good for him. People tried. How many times have you tried to go to therapists, to counselors, through priests, and all a bunch of other people to say, help me, but they just can't. They just have no idea how to help you because it's a spiritual problem, not a physical problem. You have a problem, go to a doctor. Yes, that's what we do. The spiritual problem, you don't go to a man. You go to the one who has the power to set you free. You go to the one who has the power to say, who has control over the devils. That's the one you go to. And that's what this man did. He ran directly to Jesus. He ran and worshipped him. I want you to notice this man did not take his sweet little time to get to Jesus.
He didn't just take a stroll to Jesus. He got there fast. You know why? The time is short. He wanted to get there. He was tired of all his problems that he's had up to this point. He was tired of being bound, of yelling and crying in the tombs, of being dirty, of being naked, of being in total agony all his life. He wanted to be set free. This is what we need to realize. People today are in agony, are dying, are naked, are filthy, and they need to be set free. They just don't know who to go to. They just say, I don't know. Point me the way. That's why Jesus called us to preach. That's why we, as Christians, as believers, not only should we preach with through the Bible, but with our actions, with our words, with our testimonies, constantly showing, pointing people to the way. Jesus is the only one. Man methods will never work. No chains, which are religion. No fetters, which are traditions. No ropes, which are good works, will ever, ever help a spiritual man. Help a man to be spiritually free. Who did Jesus choose to set free? Now tell me, I'm going to ask you one question. Tell me, do you think that the other people in this city, because if you read on to this context, we don't have time to read through it, but in this context, After he set the man free from the demons, the demons went to the swines. The people who were taking care of the swines, what did they do? They ran to the city and told the people. The people came out, and they were afraid of what they saw. They saw the man. Now Jesus here set free the demon possessed man. But do you think honestly that the people in the city weren't also needed to be set free? What's the difference? Why did he only set free of one man in the whole entire region and not the whole city? It's an interesting question. 1 Corinthians 1:25, if you could turn there, please. 1 Corinthians 1:25. We went 1:25 through 30. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Who did God choose? Who did God call? He called the man that was possessed. He called him. Why? To confound the wise. He called this man because this man had a problem that everybody else would never have guessed that this man would do a work for the Lord. Now, the people in Mark chapter 5, let's go back there real quick. Let's look at the context one more time. In verse 14, we read that were, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here we have a very interesting situation, like I was saying before, that Jesus set free of this wild man. This man was set free. And now as we look at it, we see something very interesting, that these people came out and they were afraid. Now tell me, why were they afraid? That boggles my mind. Why these people were afraid that a miracle had been done. Imagine the screaming, the agony. Imagine all the years of that they had to deal with this man, trying to put him in control. All the years that they did, and they come out and see him. How does it say here? Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. that is exactly what we want. Wasn't that what they wanted to do in the first place? Was to set him free, was to make him normal? But for them, it wasn't their normal. It wasn't their doing. It was Jesus, and people just hate it when Jesus steps in. People just hate it when Jesus does a miracle and you give him the glory. The devil despises it. He wants you and the whole world to give him the glory. And when Jesus lifted up, when people see that Jesus is the one who did it, wow. Incredible. This wild man is transformed. He is made new. He no longer is the same man that he was before. And that's what we want. We want people transformed. We want people renewed by the Spirit of God, not by religion, not by other works, but by Jesus Christ himself. The Word of God spoken to a man, and a man coming to realization he needs Christ. Amen. Not nothing else. Not anything else. Transformed. He no longer was naked. Jesus clothed him. He put new robes on him. Now, I don't know where those clothes came from, but they showed up. He gave them to him. He's clothed in his right mind. Remember those days when you were out of your mind? Some of you are still there, but it's okay. It's okay. You can still be set free. He's in his right mind. He no longer thinks of the things he used to think of. He no longer did the things he used to do. He no longer cut himself. He no longer threw himself in the tombs. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him. Amen. And praising his Lord for what he has done. That's what he was. Man, what a place to be at the feet of Jesus. Amen. What a better place to be in the house of God. And where you can come and worship him and lift his name on high. And remember the day you were set free. Remember that day? Do you remember the day when Jesus took your burdens away? Burdens were lifted at Calvary, we sing. Amen. This man's burdens were lifted. That's why we preach. That's why we send missionaries and we send preachers every day to set people's burdens free.
Amen.
Why do we do this? Because we don't want to see them going to hell. We don't want to see them suffering and cutting themselves and in agony. Because this life is nothing compared to the agony that will be in hell. We do not want to see that. I hope you, dear Christian, do not want to see that. I hope you understand how important it is to be a light in this dark world, at this time especially. It's getting darker and darker and darker. And we need brighter and brighter Christians. Christians who stand up for the faith. Who stand up before the name of Jesus Christ and say, I don't care what you say. I don't care what the world will say. Do you know that the people that came out of that city, they came out, and verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Jesus just made a man free, and they want him to leave. Man, invite him in! I have family. I got friends. There are people who need you. No, we don't want you. Leave our coast. That's just sad.
Amen.
That's just sad. But you know what? We can't listen to those who say we don't need you.
Amen.
We are, God is looking for those who are sick. Those who need. Oh, everybody needs it. Those men need it just as bad as the man who was possessed of the devil. They needed just as bad, or maybe even worse, because they thought themselves good. They were the Pharisees. Oh, well, we do this, or we do that. Yeah, we're not so bad as that, man. Have you ever done that? Compared yourself to a worse, in your opinion? Oh, that's what they did. And that's what people do to us every day on the streets. Oh, I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not so bad as my neighbor, or as my mother-in-law. I don't know why, but everybody says that the mother-in-law is bad. I don't know exactly why. Whatever the case is. All right, fine. I'm glad I'm not you if you think that bad of your mother-in-law. But this man, he had a problem. But I want you to continue on. Let's continue reading on what happened here. In verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now that's a good place to be. He said, Lord, I want to be with you. Can I go where you go? Man, I don't think of a better place. That's a good prayer. That's a good desire. Man, yeah, that's great. What did Jesus say? Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Wow. We pray, and we've been praying for this past, since Wednesday, for this mission conference. And prayer is a great thing, the most important thing, I would say, in speaking to God. God answers prayers. But sometimes, God has a different plan for you. Your desires may not necessarily be God's plans. You may pray, and that's great. Pray for God's will. But if the will of God comes backwards in what you believe, don't fight against it. This man said, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to go where you go. The Lord suffered him not. He said, no, no, no. Turn right around. Go right back the way you came from. Why? Man, I would say, I want to go with you. These people don't want you. They don't want me. Did he know what they tried to do to me while you were not here? They put chains on me. They try to throw me away in the funny farm. They try to do all these things that put different medications in me and different other issues. But you're the only one to set me free. I want to go with you. No, go back. Go back. How do we know that this man had a true transformation? He wanted to be with Jesus. Do you want to be with Jesus? Do you want to be where he is?
Yes.
Oh, that's why we're here today. I hope you're here because you want to be where he is. You want to hear his word. You want to read and find out, what does God want to tell me today? The difference between these two, the wild man and the men of the city, this wild man wanted to be with Jesus forever. But the men from the city asked him to leave. There's a big difference right there, and who is truly saved and who is not. If you have no desire to be with Jesus, no desire to spread the word, no desire to come to church, no desire to read his word, no desire to sing to the Lord, no desire to pray, I would start doubting if you are saved. Think about it. A man who's saved wants to be where Jesus is. Cannot get enough. I want more. He wanted to go. My question for you, and one of my many questions I have for this morning, are you ready to go wherever God wants you to go? Or are you ready to go wherever God allows you to go, where you want to go? So a lot of times we say, well, I want to go to this country. Lord, I want to go to this country. God says, no, why don't you go to Africa? I don't think so. I'd rather not. God, do you know what's happening over there? I'd rather not. God says, I want you to go to your family, to your friends, and preach the gospel to them. Lord, they think I'm crazy already. This man was.
Amen.
Oh, his friends and family? They knew. They saw him. They heard him. And that's what God told him. Jesus, go right back to your family. Crazy or not, you're set free. You're a new man. This man's desire was not heard. Not always are they heard. But his will for you may always be your desire. That's one thing you have to get in through our thick skulls today. God's desire may not be our desire. Our will may not be God's will. That's exactly why Jesus Christ, the night he died, not my will be done, but thine, Lord Jesus. Thine, O God, be done. Thy will, not mine. Why? Because we forget that our will is nothing compared to his will. He knows exactly the steps we ought to take. This new man is sent home to be a missionary to his own people. A missionary to his own people. Notice, he didn't go to another country to be a missionary. He went back to his own people. Amen. To his own backyard. To his own neighborhood. To the same people who knew him and saw him.
And I want to ask you a question right here. Would you have chosen this man to be a missionary?
Would you have thought that was missionary qualifications right there? This man was just set free. This man had just hours before going out of his mind. Demon possessed. This man, I'm almost 100% sure, we would say, deserves hell. But what did Jesus do? He set him free and made him a missionary. Amen. One thing that tells me that it's not, missionaries are not such a high pedestal that no one can attain to that point. If you have a burden, go out. If you think you ought to preach, preach. You don't have to be just some sort of high, but up here and everybody's down here. We are all the same. We are all set free. We are all equal.
Amen.
None of us. And I was up with our Pastor Veach up in New York. And he was saying, you know, how and making missionaries to be some heroic thing. It is not by itself. I don't like to be put up that high. I know I'll fall. I don't want to be put up. But you know what? I want to put Jesus up there. I want to see souls getting saved. I want to see people coming to know the Lord Jesus. That's my burden. I don't do it for myself. I do it because God put a burden in my heart. And if He put a burden in your heart, you can too. There's no one that God says you are unqualified. Unqualified! People say, no, I'm not qualified enough. What kind of qualifications did this man have to be a missionary? No seminary. He didn't know Greek. I don't know exactly, but quite possibly he didn't. He didn't know all the theology in the world. He didn't know all of exactly what the whole from Genesis to Revelation is actually and be able to teach every single detail. Because sometimes we think, I have to know everything. I have to be prepared. I have to be, you know, up to such a degree that, man, I'm overly prepared. No. Jesus took a hold of this man and sent him back. Go back. Jesus wanted him to be a witness in his own country that did not want him to stay. Jesus had to leave, or he decided to leave, but he left behind an ambassador.
Thank you, Lord.
He left behind someone who would get in and get to the people and individually talk, individually show, and look at me. Look at me, he would say. Do you see how I was? Kind of like that blind man in John chapter 9. Says, well, I don't know who he is, what he did. All I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. That's all I need to know. Man, that's all you need to tell people. Just to witness to them. Tell them what happened to you. His message, look what his message was supposed to be. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. Tell them what great things God has done for thee. That's what his message was. It wasn't, I would like you to open up the Bible and look at Revelation chapter 22. It wasn't something theological deep. It just tell them what great things God has done for you. Just tell them what happened. Tell them the process. Do you know you have in your hands, other than the Bible, something just as powerful? Your testimony. I don't care how simple or how far bizarre it is. Many times I, as a young child, those of you who know I got saved about 6 years old. And I would hear testimonies in Mexico and other places like, yeah, man, I was a drug addict and I did this and I did that. And I went to these places, I was thinking, I never did that. My testimony is kind of puny. I hit my sisters once or twice. I stole candy from the cookie jar. What else did I do? I might have written on the wall once or twice, probably once and no more. It was kind of puny. But one day, God got a hold of my heart and said, you know what? It's not about how big. It's not about how eloquent or how colorful you may make it look like. It's about your personal testimony. What did God do? And today, I have no problem telling people, you know what happened in my life? And it's even beautiful because I didn't say even a six-year-old child can understand the gospel. So simple is the gospel that even a little kid can come to his dad and say, Dad, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Jesus Christ died for my sins. I know that. I believe that. A little kid. Didn't Jesus say, let the little children come to me? Man, it's such a blessing to be saved at the young age. It's such a blessing. And if you're here today and you are not that child, you can still get saved today. Today is still the day of salvation. You don't need to let another day pass by before you actually make that decision. It makes no difference. Just as soon as possible. Just as soon as possible. This man's message, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. Oh, thank God for mercy and for grace. Thank God that God had mercy on our souls. And He gave us such a marvelous gift, the gift of eternal life. And you and I, as Christians, as believers, can go right on back to where we came from and tell our friends and our family, look what God has done for me. Do you see the transformation in me? I am a new creature.
Amen.
In Him.
Thank you, Jesus.
This man became a missionary to his own people in his own backyard. And that's a problem, do you know? People just don't get back out, really, from their own backyard. They kind of get stuck in their own little lives and forget that there are people beyond. People beyond who need the gospel.
Amen.
Now, your mission field may not necessarily be another country, or it may be. I don't know. Just whatever God tells you to go and do, will your answer be, Lord, I'd rather not? Or you say, yes, sir. Because look at verse 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. This man was obedient. He turned right around and he began to publish. I'm pretty sure he did it that very same day. I'm pretty sure he was so grateful. And people knew this man from miles away. They probably came just for a spectacle. Just look at this crazy man. Now he goes around and say, you know what? Do you remember me? You look vaguely familiar. Let's see, without clothes, a little dirty. Yeah, that's you. That's how I was. Look at me now.
Amen.
Look at me now.
Yes.
Now Jesus Christ set me free. And he begins to give his testimony. The man had a great message to give. His obedience, he immediately began to preach. He used what God had given him, which is his testimony. And people marveled at what marvelous things God had done for him. His transformation was truly marvelous, was truly incredible. Now, brothers and sisters, God has chosen all of us who are saved to be a testimony. Somewhere. Somewhere. That could be home. That could be another city. That can be another state. That can be another country. Be a testimony. Go and give your testimony. Fortunately for us, God gives us so much more than we actually ask and we deserve. So when you start giving your testimony, you'll be just shocked at how much more things you start learning by going out and talking with people, and sharing the gospel, getting into the Word of God, showing people what God has done for you. And you'll be surprised. You'll learn a whole lot more than any seminary, any other place could ever teach you. Because you're on the streets with people who need the gospel. You're on the streets. You're talking to people who actually have sensible questions. Sometimes. Unfortunately, you don't always get those people. If you've done that once or twice, you know that some people have some really stupid questions. But the fact is, even those stupid questions, it teaches you something. patience at least. It's always a lesson to learn from every single conversation. It teaches you something. God has chosen all of us who are saved to be a testimony. He has chosen who? The weak. The weak. You say, oh, I'm not worthy enough. I'm too weak. Well, yep, that fits right in. Mm-hmm. I'm too poor. I don't have enough money. Well, you know what? God will provide. You know, I sent when sent out missionary, I sat down with Brother Lindell, Brother Brian, and I think Brother Trini at that time. And I said, I want to be a missionary. They said, well, we can't promise you anything. You know that, right? I said, okay. What does that mean exactly? We're sending you out. You may get good offerings. You may get bad. Are you ready for that? All right. Ready or not? Here I come. It really depends. But you know what? As you see me today, I haven't suffered much. I'm very blessed. My grandma keeps telling me I need to go on a diet. You know, she said, you're eating too well. That's my wife. The fact is, God chose the weak, the poor. Who else? The base, the lowest. The people who actually say, I'm not missionary quality. You know what? You are. Everybody is. It just matter of the location. Maybe even the language. I'm pretty sure if you went up to New York, you have to learn a new language, even still. It's a different world up there. Anywhere you go, you're going to have to learn a new culture. It's just part of being a missionary. And you know what? It's the greatest thing in the world, going out and telling people and seeing souls set free. If that's your desire, go out and do it. Set people free. Let's be obedient to our Savior who has set us free, who has transformed us, who has sent us out to give our testimony. Amen.